Thank you for inviting me once again to Midrashei Yom Rishon. It's a pleasure to be here. Ktiva v'chatzima tova to everyone. Does everyone have the source book? When we read about the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim in Sefer Vayikra, it is evident that nowadays we feel a little out of place. So much of what embodies the idea of atonement for Yom HaKippurim takes place within the context of the Avodah that seems to revolve around the context and confines of the Beit HaMikdash, which unfortunately we do not have today. 7 out of 8 of the Prakim of Masechet Yuma focus on the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim in the Beit HaMikdash. So we begin to wonder, how do we relate to this procedure of tshuva nowadays when we feel so bereft in exile that we don't have the awesome experience of standing in the Azara, waiting and anticipating for the Kohen Gadol to come and tell us that everything has been forgiven and that we are embarking on a brand new year? How do we make the whole concept, the process of tshuva, meaningful to us today? If you will look at source number 1, when we study in Parashat Acharemot, the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, there are a number of key words and phrases that will serve to guide us in understanding the ritual of repentance. We encounter an important phrase that repeats itself many times throughout the Avodah, and that is the phrase, first of all, of Lifnei Hashem. At the beginning of the Avodah description, we learn about the deaths of the 2 sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu. You can see where I underlined in Pasuk Aleph. They attempted Bekol Vatam Lifnei Hashem. They attempted to approach before Hashem. We encounter this same phrase in Pasuk Zayin, when the Kohen Gadol takes the 2 goats to differentiate between them by the process of the Goral. We read, V'lakach et shnei asirim ve'emid otam lifnei Hashem. So too in Pasuk Yud, the Sa'ir that is designated La'azazel yo'amod chai lifnei Hashem. Similarly, with regard to the Ktoret in Pasuk Yud Gimel, we also encounter this phrase, Lifnei Hashem. The phrase Lifnei Hashem, as we will note later on as well, comes in the context of many of the steps of the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, and it seems to relate very clearly to a particular concept of the Avodah that takes place in a particular part of the Beit HaMikdash. Uniquely, however, toward the end of this lengthy description, we encounter the phrase Lifnei Hashem in a context that seems to be out of place, literally. No attachment to a physical place, to any physical activity related to the Avodah. I refer to the last Pasuk in source number 1, Pasuk Lamed, Ki vayom azeh yechaper alechem letaher etchem mikot achatot echem lifnei Hashem titaru. Not just with regard to the Kohen Gadol himself performing the Avodah within the confines of the Beit HaMikdash, but here this phrase lifnei Hashem seems to be relating to each and every one of Am Yisrael standing and waiting while the Avodah is taking place, lifnei Hashem titaru. So the question is, how do we understand this Lifnei Hashem in relation to all the other descriptions that describe the specific steps and places within the Beit HaMikdash? How does this relate, in addition, to that very key word that occurs repeatedly in the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, and that is the word Tahara? For example, in Pasuk Yud Tet, V'tziharo, V'kidisho mitul me'ot b'nei Yisrael. When we perform the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, we are enabling a process to take place whose end result is Tahara and Kedusha. And that is juxtaposed to another repeated word, v'chiper, kapara. We learn, for example, in Pasuk Vav, v'chiper ba'ado uve'ad beto. This is repeated once again in Pasuk Yud Aleph, as well as Pasuk Yud Zayin. But based on the juxtaposition of an additional verb in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, v'hit vada alav, et kol avonot b'nei Yisrael v'et kol pisha'em l'chol chatotah, Rashi tells us in source number 2, under the Dibur HaMatchil in Pasuk Yud l'chaper alav, Shiit vade alav. The kapara in this particular context entails vidui, confession. So we have a number of interesting steps with regard to the avodah of Yom HaKippurim. Kapara, that is vidui. There is kapara of the Kohen for himself and his personal household. Kapara for himself as a Kohen and his larger family of the Kohanim, and kapara for all of Bnei Yisrael in the form of vidui. We have the concept of tahara, the concept of kedusha. Let's raise some other points with regard to the text of the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim in Parashat Acharemot. We learn in Pasuk Bet that Hashem tells Moshe to tell Aharon, Ve'al yavo bechol et el hakodesh. Pasuk Bet. Usually this is understood in relationship to Pasuk Gimel, Bezot yavo Aharon el hakodesh, that the implication is that there is only one time a year that Aharon, and only Aharon, the Kohen Gadol, will be allowed to enter into the inner sanctum of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. However, if you read Pasuk Bet without immediately connecting it to the next Pasuk, Ve'al yavol bechol et el HaKodesh, we receive a slightly different impression, as if Hashem is saying that the way the Kohen Gadol will enter into the Kodesh HaKodashim that one time a year is not a typical bia. It's not a typical coming at a point in time, b'chol et. Usually we come, we go somewhere, we have an appointment, a time when we're supposed to arrive, a time when we're supposed to leave. We're always thinking about the when, the where, the physical coming and going. We're constrained and confined by a certain framework and perspective of time and place. Hashem says to the Kohen Gadol when he enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Al yavo bechol et. What he will accomplish by entering into the Kodesh HaKadoshim is something that will not be typically human. Not a normal human phenomenon, but he will enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in a timeless zone. Furthermore, in Pasuk Yud Zayin we read, V'chol Adam lo yihye be'ohel mo'ed. According to the Pshat, it seems to imply that no one else should enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim when the Kohen Gadol is performing the Avoda. But if you read perhaps more generally, with more universal tone, we get a different perspective. V'chol Adam, even when the Kohen Gadol will enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he will not be entering and acting as an Adam, as a typical human being, as what we think of as being human. He's going to take on a different presence and persona. So let's take these ideas and develop them and apply them to how we can truly absorb the lesson and message of Tshuva nowadays, even though we do not have the Beit HaMikdash. As I noted for you in source number 2, just to dwell for the moment on some of the technicalities of the procedure of the Avoda in the Beit HaMikdash, Rashi points out to us in source number 2 on Pasuk Dalid that the Kohen Gadol would not serve in his usual 8 garments, Bigdei Zahav, the golden garments, Lefi She'en Kategol Naaseh Sanegol, the golden garments reminds one of the Chet HaEgel, and therefore one does not, who is serving as a prosecutor, become a defender. So on Yom HaKippurim, he wears only the simple 4 garments that are made up of linen, like the Kohen Hedyot. Furthermore, we also learn in the next Rashi, on Verachatz Bamayim, that in fact, there are a number of tevilot, immersions, that the Kohen Gadol must perform throughout the process of the Avodah, in addition to Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, a form of sanctifying his hands and feet. According to the Mesorah of Chazal, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, there are supposed to be throughout the process of the Avodah 5 tefillot and 10 Kiddushei Yadayim V'Raglayim. Notice that Rashi tells you, Bechol Khalifa, where I underline Ta'un Tevilah, every time he changes his clothes. Because as we will talk about throughout the Avodah, he does change from Bigdei Zahav to Bigdei Lavan and back and forth. Every time there is an immersion between each changing, as well as 2 Kiddushei Adayim V'Raglayim, one before he removes the clothes, and one after he put on the other set of clothes. However, and by the way, you will see on the next page in source number 3 that I've given you a list of the steps of the Avodah. I have attempted to underline where there are the changing of clothes, and I've given you the numbers which correspond to the 5 tevilot and the 10 Kiddushei Yadayim V'Raglayim. There are some disagreements in some of the details of this procedure, but for the most part, this is a good overview. However, when you have time, when you study in detail, source number 3, you will probably note that if you juxtapose it to the order of the psukim, of the steps described in Parashat Acharemot, that there is a glaring discrepancy. If you go back to source number 2 on Pasuk Chav Gimel, Rashi tells you very clearly, Ameru Rabotenu She'en Ze Mekomo, Shel Mikra Ze. Go back to source number 1 and look at Pasuk Chav Gimel. In this pasuk we read, Uva Aharon el ohel moed, ufashat et bidei abad asher lavash, bevo'o el hakodesh v'hinicham sham. The question arises, what is Aharon doing in this pasuk? All it says is that he comes. And right afterwards, he removes the linen garments and leaves them there. But a few psukim later, if you run your eye down through the rest of the psukim, Chav Dalet through Chav Chet, you will see that it seems to be that he's still accomplishing and performing other steps within the Avodah. So the whole transfer of when he's removing the Bigdei Abad and when he's performing the rest of the Avodah seems to be very confusing. Therefore, Chazal said, that Pasuk Chaf Gimel is out of sequential order. Then in actuality, we have to take into account, when the Kohen Gadol wears the Bigdei Zahav, during the ritual of Yom HaKippurim, he is performing aspects of the Avodah within the Beit HaMikdash that are also performed other times of the year. Like, for example, sacrificing the Tamid Shel Shachar. When he changes over to the Bigdei Bad, the Bigdei Lavan, then he is performing the particular steps in relationship specifically to the Avodah Yom HaKippurim. When he switches back, and you could, if you follow along in source number 3, you could see, he switches back to the Bigdei Zahav, all the way in step Yud Chet, And then he performs the korbanot and of the Musaf Hayom, other korbanot, particular for Yom HaKippurim, but also done on other chagim. And then only later on does he switch back to the big day, Lavan, in step chaf. What does he do then? I.e., he is completely now concluded all the specific steps of the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim. That means Psukim Chav Dalet through Chav Chet have to be preceding Pasuk Chav Gimel. The final step in the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim is really Pasuk Chav Gimel. What does he do when he puts on the Bigdei Lavan for the final time and enters into the Kodesh HaKadashim? We had learned earlier that Aharon had performed the very special procedure of sacrificing the ktoret, the incense, for Yom HaKippurim, a very difficult process. But in actuality, he had left behind, in the Kodesh HaKadashim, the spoon and the censer, the instruments that he had used for this process. He has to go through an entire process, changing his clothes, doing tevilah, doing kiddush yadayim for raglayim, just to enter once again into the Kodesh HaKadashim for the sole purpose of taking out these instruments, these tools from the Kodesh HaKadashim. You could see it on page 2, where I underline with Rashi, Uva el ohel mo'ed lohotzi et hakaf et hamachta shiyitir ba'aktoret lifnai v'lifnim. Only once he has done that, he removes the special clothing, the bigdei lavan, that he used for Yom HaKippurim. There's geniza, they're hidden away, they're never used again. So we have to try to understand, conceptually, why is it that the Kohen Gadol has to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the final step of this Avodah, just to remove the Kelim of the Ketoret ritual? Now let's develop some of these ideas, and eventually we will tie it all together. In sources 4 and 5, we learn that when we encounter the concept of tshuva in the Chumash, we often speak in terms of the verb vishavta. Vishav b'tzav lecha u'mitzaucho kol advarim ha'ele v'acharit hayamim vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha. But on Yom HaKippurim, in that selection from Parashat HaChareimot, the verb vishavta does not appear at all. We have the verbs relating to kapara, tahara, kiddusha, but not the verb lashuv, to return, vishavta. So Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, in source number 6, the Rosh Yeshiva, Yeshiva Chaim Berlin, lived from 1906 through 1980, who wrote some beautiful essays on the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, says the following, in source number 6. He explains to us that based on the writings of Rabbeinu Yonah Gerondi, who wrote a work called Sha'arei Tshuva, that the idea of Lifnei Hashem Titharu is really a mitzvah miuchedet shel tshuva asher zmana Yom HaKippurim. That in fact we are not dealing just with a mitzvah that involves the process of tshuva which we normally encounter throughout the rest of the year. All year we can repent and should repent for anything that we do wrong. But the mitzvah tshuva on Yom HaKippurim is a special, unique kind of commandment of tshuva, and that is why it especially is described as Lifnei Hashem Titavu. Because as Rav Kuttner says, he says on the middle of the third line, "B'mitzvah tshuva shekol hashana Nitzdaveno b'leshon v'shavta. When it comes to tshuva, throughout the rest of the year, we're commanded with the lashon of return, v'shavta. B'mitzvah tshuva shayom ha-kippurim, nitzdaveno b'leshon titaru. But the mitzvah tshuva yom ha-kippurim is separated out, differentiated, because it uses a different language, the language of titaru. And therefore, he explains that every day of the year, when you repent, you achieve forgiveness from Hashem, what Rav Putner calls slicha. But you don't necessarily achieve the state of tahara until the repentance that you perform on Yom HaKippurim. We read in Yeshayahu, I didn't put in the pasuk, but everyone knows it, Im yu chataihem kashanim, kashele yalbinu. Im yadinu chatola, katzemer yiyu. What are we looking for? And this is what is described in the rest of this paragraph, the analogy of washing away, kibbutz. What are we looking for on Yom HaKippurim? We're looking for complete libun. Complete whiteness, clarity, complete washing away of every last remnant, every stain of every last sin that we've transgressed throughout the year. We're not just looking for slicha in particular moments throughout the year. On Yom HaKippurim, we are looking for an all-embracing, all-encompassing, complete purification, a tahara. How do we achieve this? Says Rav Putner on the last line on page 3, where I underlined, Ein lecha shum tnuat ha-nefesh b'chibun ha-tshuva shelo yihye ba mishum ha-varad da'al af api shelo nitkaimu ikare ha-tshuva ach benogia lelibun ha-keter dahaynu taharat ha-nefesh b'ze lo titava ha-tahara ki im b'kiyum kol ikare ha-tshuva me'akvim ba. We can accomplish tshuva throughout the year. It's like we dull the stain, but the outlines of the stain are still there. There's always something when you have a tnuat ha-nefesh, when you have something going on inside of you, some sort of regret, there's always some sort of transformation. But on Yom HaKippurim, you need to accomplish a complete overhaul. A complete transformation by performing every last step of the process of tshuva. Only one time a year, but it is an important time of year, Hashem gives us this golden opportunity to bring it all together, to put it out in front, to, so to speak, lay it all out on that plate, to say, this is everything we've done wrong, and to wash away everything through the steps of tshuva, accomplishing all the steps of tshuva in their proper sequence. Let me elaborate. First, let's note sources 7 and 8. We all know that Yom HaKippurim, as a day of repentance, is also a day of fasting. Te'anu et nafshotechem. We afflict ourselves. If that is the case, one might have thought that when the Rambam describes in the Mishneh Torah the process of fasting on Yom HaKippurim, that he would have used similar language to the affliction and the fasting that with which we, in, you know, which we undergo other times of the year. But if you notice in source number 8 in Hilchot Ta'aniyot, Rambam uses language talking about tshuva that we undergo when we fast other times of the year. He says, "Midachei tshuvahu shebizman shetzavot sara yizaku aleha yariyu." And then the next halacha, midivrei sofri, nit'anot al kod sara shetavu al hatzibur ad shiyuchamu min hashamayim. Pay attention to the language. Tzara, za'aka, ma'asim ra'im, lihit'anot al kod sara. Go to source 7. When the Rambam talks about the mitzvah aseh and Yom HaKippurim of fasting, even though the pasuk clearly tells us at the end of Perek Tetzayin Sefer VaYikra, te'anu et nafshotechem, the Rambam says mitzvah acheret yesh b'Yom HaKippurim v'hi lishbot bo me'achila u'shviya. As he says further on in Halacha Hey, asur lirchotz lasuch linol at asandal lirol u'mitzvah lishbot mikol elu kederech sheshovet me'achila u'shviya sheneamar Shabbat Shabbaton. The Rambam doesn't use the same language that he used to describe other ta'aniyot sibur when he describes the ta'anit sibur on Yom HaKippurim. And therefore, Rav Huttner in source number 9 picks up on this diyuk, this important shade of difference. And he explains that based on the Mesorah, on Yom HaKippurim, we received the second luchot. Yom HaKippurim, says Rav Huttner, is a time of reacceptance of the Torah mechadash, a renewal of our na'aseh v'nishma, in a way, however, that is very different from the first time that we received the Torah on Har Sinai. As Rav Huttner says on the middle of the fourth line, Kabbalat HaTorah al derech hatshuva. We received the second luchot after Chet HaEgel. When Hashem provided us with these second luchot, He provided us with the key to our future existence as a nation, as Am Yisrael. And that is Kabbalat HaTorah al derech hatshuva. Although we fell to the lowest depths with the sin of the Egel, and we are constantly reminded about it through the big day Zahav of the Kohen Gadol, nevertheless, on Yom HaKippurim, through the giving of the second Luchot, Hashem told us that He is allowing us to pick ourselves up, to wash away every remnant of the sin by re-giving the Torah, by giving us, kivyachol, a second Ma'amad Har Sinai, the second Luchot. It is this renewal, this re-acceptance of the Torah, al derech hatshuva, which explains the uniqueness of our relationship with Hashem. Hashem may get angry with us, but He always forgives. There might be consequences, suffering, affliction, punishment, to go along with it, to help us rectify what we've done wrong. But at the end of the line, on Yom HaKippurim, when we stand in shul, we have to say to ourselves, we are at Ma'amad Har Sinai all over again. Hashem is giving us the Torah today on Yom HaKippurim all over again. So the Rambam does not speak about Ze'aka, Tzara, Inui. That should not be our mindset on Yom HaKippurim. Our mindset when we are fasting is just what, says the Rambam, Shvita, refraining. Why? Because we don't need these things. Says Rav Huttner further down, where I underlined, Soma shel Yom HaKippurim, it's about four lines from the bottom of source 9, Ein sof inyano siguf l'shem ham'atat kochot aguf, k'dere shematzinu v'tanin sibu, ela sof inyano hi ha'shvita nima'ase achila. משונה הוא יום הכיפורים משאר המועדים שהוא כולו לשם. מופקם הוא לגמרי מהלכם. דתענית מדרכי התשובה היא משום דתענית היא בניגוד לצרכי הגוף. צום יום הכיפורים הוא משום דאכילה איננה מצורכי הנפש. When you fast and you afflict yourselves other times of the year, that is truly a siguf. It's an affliction. It's a diminution of kochot haguf. You're really trying to diminish the powers of your body because you're afflicting yourself. You want to suffer. But in Yom HaKippurim, when you don't eat, says Rav Huttner, it's because you are focused exclusively on what? tzorchei ha-nefesh, the needs of the innermost core, the innermost essence of your being, your nefesh. Let me explain further. We learn in Masechet Yuma, in source number 10. Everyone knows this particular Mishnah, certainly bears repeating. Karen, is this supposed to be on, the second one? Okay. We learn that Averot Yom Sheben Adam Lamakom Yom HaKippurim Mechaper. Right? The Averot between man and God, Yom HaKippurim atones for this. But Averot Sheben Adam LaChavero, sins between man and man, Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper. Yom HaKippurim does not atone for these sins between man and man, ad sheyeratzeh et chaveru, until he appeases his fellow human being. Et zod arash Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, mikol chatotechem lifnei Hashem titaru. Remember that phrase, lifnei Hashem? Averot shebein adam lamakom yom hakippurim mechaper. Averot shebein adam lachaveru, ein yom hakippurim mechaper ad sheyeratzeh et chaveru. Asks Rav Huttner, what is the drasha of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria in order to discern from the words lifnei Hashem titaru that there is a difference between averot ben adam lamakom and averot ben adam lachavero as to the procedure of atonement and complete forgiveness on Yom HaKippurim? In fact, Rav Huttner tells us that throughout the rest of the year, if you do vidui, confession, about a sin that you perform between man and man, and only later on you go to that fellow human being and you ask for forgiveness, you do what he calls pius, appeasement. This is not just merely saying, I'm sorry. It's really trying to make sure that it's all washed away and that you're really good friends again. If you do the vidui beforehand and you do the pius afterwards, the rest of the year it's okay. Of course, we assume that when you do the vidui, you're eventually going to go to that human being and ask for ritsui and pius, appeasement, right, to mollify them. But says Rav Huttner in source number 11 on the middle of the fourth line, kaparat בוידוי יום הכיפורים בעבירות שבין נתן לחברו אינו עולה לו כלל אם לא קדם לו הפיוס. כפרת יום הכיפורים מחייבת את הפיוס, היינו משום דבטהרת יום הכיפורים יש תנאי דלפני השם דנתמעט מזה עבירות שבין אדם לחברו. According to Rav Huttner, one needs to take care of pre-Yom HaKippurim all pius, all appeasement, all dealings with issues between man and man before you go to shul on Yom HaKippurim. Why? Because of Lifnei Hashem Titaru. Rav Huttner understands this to mean that when you say vidui on Yom HaKippurim, you have to be standing lifnei Hashem and only lifnei Hashem. As he says further on page 5 in source number 12, kol hazman, where I underlined, sheyesh lo b'inyan ze lechaverot tvi'a lav ein ha'adam yachol leha'amid atzmo b'inyan ze lifnei Hashem. On Yom HaKippurim, you can only stand before one judge. If you are being judged, if there are claims against you by more than one judge, that's not going to work on Yom HaKippurim. So if there's an individual who has claims against you, judging you, angry with you, you cannot be solely focused, lifnei Hashem, on the one judge who has to judge you about your actions. In fact, the Ramban, if you just skip for a moment to source number 13, the Ramban teaches us very clearly that Hashem provided us with an illustrative example of this very importance of appeasement bein adam l'chaveiro. After Miriam slanders Moshe Rabbeinu in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Yud Bet, we read, "Vayomer Hashem pitaom el Moshe vel Aaron vel Miriam tzilush shloshtechem el ol moed." Hashem suddenly appears to whom? Moshe, Aaron, Miriam, and says, "The three of you, go out." But right afterwards, in the next pasuk, Hashem only speaks to Miriam and Aaron, praising the level of Nivuah, the kind of individual that Moshe Rabbeinu is. So why did he need Moshe Rabbeinu to go out with them initially? Says Ramban, "Ratza shiyeh Moshe sham v'yireh b'kinat Hashem lichvodo." Hashem wanted to see that tell Moshe that Moshe should see that Hashem is truly a kanai, a zealot for the kavod of Moshe Rabbeinu. But more importantly, perhaps, yiyeh matzui lahem, that Moshe Rabbeinu should physically be present in front of them. Shelo yimchol Hashem lahem rak al yado, kasher yitchanenu elav v'yitratze lahem. Because Hashem refuses to forgive them except if Moshe Rabbeinu is standing before them. They plead to him, they beg him for forgiveness, and he demonstrates ritzui that he has been appeased. Explains Rav Huttner in the second paragraph of source number 12. Every place where we mentioned, and I showed you, the phrase lifnei Hashem, it referred to a particular place. The only time that it is not tied to a physical place is the phrase lifnei Hashem titaru. Rav Huttner says, if that's the case, if you look in that second paragraph on the fifth line, he says, if it's not a makom yadua, a physical place, then it must be misamein nikuda yadua banefesh. It must be a specific place, but within your nefesh, within the innermost recesses of your being. When the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim lifnai v'lifnim, and this could also apply now today, we, each and every one of us, have to enter into our own Kodesh HaKadoshim lifnai v'lifnim. We have to enter into our own inner sanctum of our nefesh, of our neshama. By our vidui, our tefillot, we have to remember that we are doing a din v'cheshbon inside the very innermost core of our being. And therefore, Rav Huttner says that just like lifnei Hashem only applies to avodat tzibur, to public avoda. If that's the case, how could the lifnei Hashem, which seems to be applying to each and every one of our individual nefashot, be reconciled with the fact that everywhere else lifnei Hashem has to do with tzibur, something public? So he explains on the fourth to last line of source 12, hachata'im shebein adam l'chavero hamifat li והמפסיקים את סירופי הנפשות להדד מופקעים הם מאפשרות העמדה לפני השם וטהרתו של יום הכיפורים. Explains Rav Huttner, the first thing you need to do before Yom HaKippurim is take care of your humanity. Only then can you truly unite with Hashem himself. And we think about the times of the Beit HaMikdash, everyone is standing together. Somehow everyone had their own space. They're all standing in the Azara. How can you stand next to the next person if a few people away there's someone who has a taina against you? How can you stand in the Azara with the Kohen Gadol saying vidui if a few rows behind you you're angry at someone? The only way true atonement, to achieve lifnei Hashem titaru on Yom HaKippurim, is if Am Yisrael is ki'ish echad b'leiv echad. Truly, in the plural, Na'aseh v'nishma, that everyone is completely unified, that you have a sense that all the nefashot of every individual Jew come together as a tzibur. The power of the tzibur is the key in the avodah of Yom HaKippurim, even though we thought it's only being done by one individual, by a Kohen Gadol. His power is completely nothing unless he has behind him the force of the united tzibur. Kol Yisrael arevim ze lazeh. The only way, therefore, we can stand lifnei Hashem on Yom HaKippurim to achieve the ultimate pinnacle of atonement, of repentance, tahara, is if everyone feels united, and that means that pre-Yom HaKippurim, before Yom HaKippurim, there has to be complete ritzui and piyus ben adam lachavero. Rav Huttner explains further that in fact, sometimes Hashem demands from us that we demonstrate our loyalty and commitment to Him through an overt action. Famous examples in Tanakh, the Akedah, Avraham Avinu. The Satan asks Iyov, demands certain overt proof. Says Rav Huttner that in actuality, if you think more clearly about what we do on Yom HaKippurim as individuals, it's a very different kind of din v'cheshbon, of accounting. He bases this especially on sources 14 and 15. When the Rambam in Hilchot Tshuvah, in source 14, explains the steps of Tshuvah, he explains, Mai hatshuva, she'azov achotei cheto, you should forget about the sin, i.e. yasir mimachshavto, you should totally wipe it away, yigmor b'libo shelo yaseyu od, you should make sure and decide that you're never going to repeat that sin, yitnachem ha'sheaval, you should regret what you did in the past. V'yaid alav yodea ta'alumot shelo yashuv lezeh acheg le'olam. Who is going to testify to the fact that you have made that internal, private decision that you will never transgress that particular sin again? Hashem. But how is Hashem described in the Rambam here? As Yodea Ta'alumot, the one who knows your innermost secrets. Secrets that we don't have to reveal to anyone else but Hashem. Let's just learn from the moment the Ramban on source 15. After Chetah Egel, when Moshe has achieved Hashem's forgiveness to Bnei Yisrael, Hashem says to Moshe, Hine anochi korek berit, neged kol amecha e'ese niflaot, asher lo nivra'u b'chol ha'aretz u'b'chol ha'goyim. וראה כל העם אשר בקרבו את מאשר עשה השם כי נורא הוא אשר אני עושה עמך. Questions the Ramban, if in this pasuk, Hashem seems to be establishing a new brit, a new covenant with the nation, which seems to consist of great niflaot, miracles, that no one has ever experienced, that's what the pasuk tells us. The Ramban immediately asks, what are these niflaot that we're talking about? There were not great nisim that happened after Chetah Egel, yes, the continuing man, but there was no Yitziat Mitzrayim, Kriyat Yam Suf, Makot, etc. So the Ramban asks, what niflaot are we talking about that is so unbelievably extraordinary, that consists of the brit, the covenant that Hashem enacts with us dafka after Chetah Egel? He says in source 15, in the last line, Ha'inyan yirmoz el shkon ha'shchina bahem. Al ha'yotoy Moshe lechavod ulatiferet, v'ne'elam uvamufla. The Hashem promises, dafka after Chet Ha'egel, that He will always be with us, v'ne'elam uvamufla. Even inside the innermost hidden parts of our beings. Before we do source 16, Let me just point out to you, I'm skipping for the moment to source 22 on the last page. There's a very interesting pasuk in the middle of the Avodah, in pasuk Tetzayin in Parashat Acharemot, where we read at the end of the pasuk, Hashochem itam betoch tum otam. Maybe the whole pasuk we should read, V'chiper al ha-kodesh mitumaot b'nei Yisrael mipishehem l'chochatatam, V'chein yaseh l'oel mo'ed, Hashochem itam betoch tum otam. Says Rashi on this pasuk, Af al pi shehem tmeim shchina b'nehem. That is an unbelievable statement. Even when we are tamei, and Hashem is kadosh and completely tahor, Hashem still says what? Even when we are in a state of tum'ah, shchina b'nehem, He still is present and rests among us. If we tie that together with this extraordinary brief that Hashem made with us after Chet Ha'egel, Rav Putner in source number 16 explains, go to the back of the page, this is Brit HaTshuva. This is the covenant of tshuva. The Rambam calls it Yodea Ta'alumot. The Ramban calls it Vane'elam uvamufla. What is the secret of tshuva? That even when we are tamei, Hashem is going to enter into the innermost cores of our beings. When we do vidui about everything going on within us, and He is going to allow us to achieve a state of tahara, the ultimate state of purification. Perhaps we don't want to acknowledge a lot during the year of what we do or what we think about, but when we stand before Hashem on Yom HaKippurim, we know we've faced a lot of struggles during the year. We have a lot of questions, a lot of doubts within our thoughts. There are things inside of us that no one else knows and no one else has to know. Because Hashem says on Yom HaKippurim, I don't need a din v'cheshbon before anyone else overtly. It's lifnei Hashem yodea ta'alumot. Just talk to me, He says, through the innermost core essence recesses of your being. Says Rav Hutner in the third to last line, Ein lecha yoter mufla v'yoter mechuset me'asher ta'alumot alev. What is the gift of tshuva? We are doing an accounting and a reckoning of everything we've done that we were covering up during the year. What do you have to do on Yom HaKippurim? You have to peel away all the layers of everything you are. Every last struggle, conflict, question, doubt, sin, thought, everything. You covered it up perhaps during the year to survive, to get through the day. Now Hashem says, expose ta'alumot alev, everything inside of you. Uncover it. Peel away every layer. I want to see everything, says Hashem. Do a din v'cheshbon of every last thing, and don't worry, you took care of Bein Adam v'Chaveiro already. You're only standing before me, lifnei Hashem. I am witness, jury, judge all at once. No one else has to know it. No arguments in a court of law. I am the court of law, says Hashem. This is the uniqueness, the beauty of the procedure and process and ritual of tshuva on Yom HaKippurim. If you achieve this level where you can say titaru, that you are purified, says Rashi in source 17, then you can move on to the next step. Because we had learned in Pasuk Yotet v'tziharo v'kidisho mituma el b'nei Yisrael. Says Rashi, v'tziharo mimashavah. You are now purified from everything that came before. Now you're moving on to the next step. V'kidisho, the sanctification, le'atid lavo, for the future. You're moving on to a new sanctified future. How do you move on to the future? As one of my teachers once taught me, the Kohen Gadol left behind the spoon, the censer, the tools of the Ktoret ritual. And in the very last procedure of the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, he had to put on those Bigdei Lavan again just to go inside and take out those instruments, those implements. When we enter, let's remind you also, remember I quoted you the psukim, Al yavod b'chol et, v'chol adam lo yiyeh b'ol bo'et. When you enter into lifnai v'lifnim, the inner sanctum of your nefashot, you cleanse them away to the yodea ta'alumot, to the Hashem who knows all your secrets. It's as if you become subsequently no longer an Adam, you're no longer a human being. You have such a close bond with Hashem as a result of Yom Kippurim, because you peeled away everything that separates you from Hashem. You're so united with Hashem, it's as if you're no longer human. But then Hashem says, the last avodah of Yom Kippurim, do something mundane. Take out the mundane instruments, the tools. Why? Because you need to remember what Nadav and Avihu did not understand. Bekol vatam lifnei Hashem. They thought they could achieve lifnei Hashem, which is the pinnacle of what it means to be a Jew, the highest heights of spirituality. When you're so close to Hashem, you're standing lifnei Hashem. Hashem says, wait a minute. I only allow this one day of the year, Yom Kippurim. But you are not malachim, you are human beings. You need to return to your instruments, to your humanity, to your everyday lives. But how are you going to do that? Because you're going to take with you the lessons of Yom Kippurim, that renewal of the Torah, that reacceptance of the second luchot, the whole experience of kapara, tahara, and you're going to move on to kedusha, you're going to find ways to sanctify your lives in the future. We learn in Source 18 that the Mishnah tells us that the two goats that are taken on Yom Kippurim are really one and the same. There's nothing between them. In fact, they should not be different at all. The only difference between them is the gorav that separates them, Sa'ir Lashem, Sa'ir La'azazel. But what is interesting is, while I said Al Yavol B'chol Eit, as if Yom Kippurim is a timeless time, what do we learn about the individual who takes this Sa'ir La'azazel out to the midbar in order to throw it over the cliff? Even though it doesn't say he's thrown over the cliff in the text, that's according to Chazal, right? We learn in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, V'shilach B'yad Ish Iti Hamidbara. Eighth time. What is Hashem alluding to us? When we are in a point on Yom Kippurim that the Midrash, in fact, in Source 21, calls Yom Echad. When Hashem created the world, it was not Yom Rishon. It should have been Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi. It's Yom Echad, a word describing a day that's a day that doesn't follow in sequence with other days. The Midrash says this alludes to what? Yom Kippurim. A day that is separated out, a singular day. But once you go back to eight, to a sequence of time, and you become an ish iti, a man of time, or a woman of time, the question becomes, what will you do with your time? How will you progress in your actions and behavior as a Torah Jew throughout the year to do kiddushot, to sanctify the rest of the year? You recall that the land to which the Sa'ir La'azazel is sent is called Eretz Gezerah. The Gemara in Source 19, Rashi explains it in Source 20, explains that this refers to, in fact, that Hashem decreed it, Gezerah. You would think, well, what's the big deal? I send a goat out to the Mibab, I throw it over the cliff, what is that going to achieve? Hashem says in Source 19, Ani Hashem Gezerti v'ein lecha reshut la'arer achareihen. This is what I decreed, and don't question it. I allow, says Hashem, a moment of timeless time, a day that is mufkad, removed from all days of the year, a yom echad. On that day, Hashem says, I decreed a day of tshuva, a gift that has allowed me, the yodea ta'alumot, to witness your cheshbon ha'nefesh. But, ish iti, what will you do with the rest of the time of the year? Will you take that high from Yom Kippurim and use it for positive? That will be the challenge of the next year. So let's end off with Source 23, the famous statement of Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, Masechet Yuma, Ashrechem Yisrael, לפני מי אתם מטהרין, מי מטהר אתכם? אביכם שבשמיים.
You should be very considerate of yourself. We should consider ourselves fortunate that Hashem allows us a process of tahara.
But based on the pasuk in Yechezkel, v'zarachti alechem mayim torim utahaltem, and the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where Hashem is called a mikveh Yisrael, which the Pashtanim understand from the word tikvah, that Hashem is our hope, Rabbi Akiva understands it little as a mikvah. Hashem is kivyachol our mikvah. Ma mikveh mitaheret atzmeim, ach HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitaheret Yisrael.
But what's important is we have to remember, based on the Midrash that says that Yom HaKippurim is Yom Echad.
What existed Yom Echad? Well, Hashem created light. But what was in the world? So we learn in Source 24, Va'aretz hayta tov vavo v'choshech al pnei tehom v'ruach Elokim merachefet al pnei hamayim.
At this point of Yom Echad, the world was still undivided, undifferentiated. It was all water. But what was over it was Hashem's Ruach Elokim, if we understand it as some Parshanim do, like Rashi, that the Kisei HaKavod, that Hashem's spirit was all-embracing, all-encompassing over this unified world. We get the sense that when Hashem is described as Mikveh Yisrael, He really wants us to return to that pristine, pure state when nothing was divided, nothing was separated. Hashem was completely united, all embracing, covering, and blanketing the world with His Ruach. If we can feel that awe, but that awesomeness of the experience on Yom HaKippurim when we are standing in shul, then we too will achieve Lifnei Hashem Titaro. Thank you, Shana Tova.